National Radio Public.
Hi, DXers. Welcome to Market Scope for October 2012. We're back to the Aircheck Library once again, looking for some great old classic airchecks, and this month's shouldn't disappoint. Here's one of the greatest personalities of all time on one of the greatest personality stations of all time.
WXYZ presents the good sound of Personality Plus with Joey Reynolds.
Personality Plus. WXYZ.
Hello.
Why were the pioneers called Pale Face?
How would you look surrounded by 1,000 Indians? Hello.
Which is correct, Hawaii or Hawaii?
Hawaii.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We all live in the hills of Hawaii.
Got some visitors in the studio tonight. They don't like any people in particular, they said. I said, what are you doing here? They're not fans. I said, then you got to be fiends. They said, we're not fiends. I said, well, who do you like on the air? They said, we like them all. And it's a wonderful attitude. 14,000 miles to Russia, make a left. What do you mean we like them all? You got to have a favorite. Don't you like me? Am I not your favorite? I don't care if I am. Yes, I do. And they said, no, you're not our favorite, but we like you. I said, that's nice. Do you like Mark Avery? He said, yeah. I said, do you like Dave Prince? Yeah. I said, do you like Lee Allen? Yeah. I said, he's not even on the air. We still like him. I said, what do you like on the air? Everybody on the air. These people ought to work for the FCC. It's 17 minutes before, because it's a cinch. They don't like everybody on the air. It's 17 before 8 o'clock on WXYZ. I don't know why they don't like everybody on the air at the FCC. I guess they got their own favorites, you know. I'm just sorry. I can't sound like Lady Bird. Haven. This is number 3 certified. The Detroit Sound Survey Fast Action. Many, many requests for Donovan. Most requested song tonight. Sunshine Superman. Quick, Lois, there's a closet. I guess I was born to be in radio. I don't know. I don't know if it was particularly WXYZ. You know, a lot of guys come out of the service. They have tattoos on them. You know, mother with a heart on it, right? On my chest, I got written all over it.
Personality, personality. That's the sound of
Wixie. Covers the whole thing. See what I got on the other hand.
Hello.
What comes in a box is as big as an ox and flies?
A flying ox box.
Oh, the Turtles from Wixie, the Groovy. Our fast action request song for that one at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock with Joey. Joey, and tonight we're going to start a brand new exciting contest whereby one lucky Detroit guy or gal is going to win a trip to be with the Beatles. Can you imagine that? A trip to be with the Beatles. We're going to buy our listeners tonight on Wixie Radio. You're going to win a trip to be with the Beatles just if you listen to me. And if any of the rating services call you and ask you what station you're listening to, you tell them Beatle Radio WXYZ. Don't forget now. And then, if we happen to draw your name, you'll get to be with the Beatles. Yes, siree. John, Paul, George, and Ringo will definitely ignore you, too.
Hello.
How do I stop Grandpa from biting his nails?
Hide his teeth.
WXYZ in Detroit is 69 degrees right now. And for Herschel Electronics and their 5 locations, I must give a word tonight. You guys got automobiles? You got cars?
Huh? Yeah.
Do you? Do you have stereo in your cars yet?
Got an Edsel.
No. No? And you're from L.A. and you're supposed to be hip, right?
San Francisco.
And you know, San Francisco. Why do I keep saying L.A.? Well, stereophonic sound has come to Detroit, ladies and gentlemen, and you'll find it in most homes. And now, what? Will you let me finish my commercial? This is what pays for the other aggravation. Wait a minute now. Herschel Electronics has 5 locations throughout Detroit. They've done fairly well, but not as well as they should have. And consequently, I don't think any businessman feels he has done as well as he should have. As a matter of fact, that's probably why they're advertising. Well, to tell you the truth, they're not doing too well at Herschel Electronics. They try hard, and they've been in business for a long... You know, they really owe us money. I mean, they're into us. And you know, at Herschel Electronics, they've got 5 locations they've built up, and they're not even paid for it. Well, frankly, friends, I mean, when my father first bought the business, he decided if I got on the air, it would be a good... You know, come on. So I come on for them, and here I am. And you gotta get it. You gotta help us. And the family's starving. We ain't doing so well, and I gotta take this job here on the side for the money that I get the tips at the hops. You know, and I want you to come to Herschel Electronics and buy a stereo from us and put in your car, so you don't pay all the darn stupid bills we owe.
Let's check the thermometer.
Check the barometer.
What's the weather gonna be on WXYZ?
Just tonight in downtown Detroit.
Any place can be a soda fountain now with great shakes, new great shakes.
The way about 400 pounds we go over her house, she gave great shakes.
I'm hip, all three layers.
Huh?
You'll just love Chuck Berry. Well, I was giving the Beatles the Motown sound, ladies and gentlemen. Do you want to hear how we do this? This is something that we tried with Barbara Streisand one night on Wixie Radio. I don't know if you were listening or not. But we would like to give the Beatles, John, Paul, George, and Ringo, the Detroit sound, since they imitate it anyway, you know, as far as their writing style, since they want so much to be an Americans, since they want so badly to have the American sound and the Detroit sound. Let's give it to them.
Where I was born, lived a man who sailed to sea.
Wait a minute.
Oh,
that's
no,
not
boy.
Right.
I can't take any more of the chiffons. I knew them when they were black.
Is this a glitter station?
This a glitter station?
Yeah.
A few of the boys are, yes.
Yeah. No, no. Seriously. You know what glitter is. You know what that is.
Yeah.
All the glitter groups and stuff. Are they into that stuff here?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh,
I haven't been here in a while.
Sure.
They are?
Yeah.
What do you got some glitter music?
Yeah, we got some glitter music.
Like what? Music. Play some hits.
I'm not going to play any Chubby Checker records. I'm prejudiced.
Oh.
You know, Chubby Checker is, he's white.
Well, come on, you got to play because you didn't pick the rug.
No, we're just doing an anti-drug thing. There's no whites or reds allowed.
No, come on, play this for cash.
Got a blue one now that takes your cross.
I think I may call the nun I had in school. And maybe I'll wake her up. I wonder if they still wear those long habits. You know, now they got dirty habits now. Oh, come on now. Let's not do any nun jokes. You know what's going to happen. Sister Mary Butch will be on the phone in a minute. I had her in school. She used to drive down to St. Patrick's every day in her immaculate contraption. You know, there she was driving the car. The only one in school that was allowed to drive. Where's the record? There it is. And if I don't speed this show up, we're going to have one sooner than we thought. Hey, are you a streaker? Are you really? Do you really get out in the open and do it in Delaware Park? Well, be careful, because tonight they're looking for you. The Buffalo Police are out with radar units for streaking, and they've got some brand-new equipment now that can detect flesh. So be very careful where you are. You know, I mean, really, if you're going to do it in the right place. Don't streak through Delaware Park tonight. Here are the areas not to streak in, according to the Super Q Super Spy. You do not streak in Delaware Park. You cannot streak in Cheektowaga tonight. The radar location is moving, however, rapidly towards the shore. You cannot in Angola. If you live in Angola, there's no streaking allowed tonight because they're hot on the tail there. Pardon the pun. On Hurdle Avenue, you're allowed to get away with it tonight, especially if you're coming out of that place. And I can't mention it on the air because it'll be a plug, and they should advertise anyway so they can be twice as crowded and be twice the fun. I just love those places. That's why I go, you know. And what's the other one? That one that's open, they got five or six of them around town. You know what I'm talking about. You people live here. What? Listen, let's go to the Glen and burn it again. We're going to have a great time tonight. This is the record we sent out to J.J. Jordan when he was in love. It was not that big a hit in Buffalo because I was around and I wasn't getting paid that much to play it, so I didn't play it that often, but it was a big hit. It's the part of New York City. The Trade Winds, wasn't it? Oh, I remember the Trade Winds. I was going out with one of his guys' girls here.
I guess I got to say I love you in a song. On WNBC 66 Superstar Radio, and now Wolf News with Joey Reynolds.
I'm glad you don't have that guy here from last week, you know, that Jubriath, was it? You know, that person who's dressed like a girl. That's really something else. You know, we got his name was Jubriath, wasn't it?
Yes, yes.
You know, the courtesy of the Queen's Council on Drag Abuse. But I want to tell you, you know that new tune, Wolf, the Sister Margaret Mead song, Lord's Prayer? It's a new tune by Lennon and McCartney.
Yeah, no.
Well, 10 years ago there was a singing nun, you know, and 5 years ago there was a flying nun, and now there's Wolfman, the getting nun.
Yeah.
How come there's a girls laugh and you're not allowed to have them in the studio? Is that Jubriath here again?
No.
The president decided to join the streaking fad today. He wanted to make things perfectly clear. He took off his clothes and he did an 18-minute disappearing act. Billy Graham got uptight. It blew his streakers. I'm sorry I read that. Anyway. Oh, yes. There's a new book on astrology called I Lost My Cusp Over Queens.
Rogers speaking report.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, Wolfman has done it again. He has started a national fad. The Wolfman, better known as Hairface in New York, has started a national fad. Here's what he's done. Billboards all along the nation's highways, especially New York State, announcing the New York Central Railroad has reinstated Silver Streak service from Chicago. Commercials, Procter & Gamble gives good head and shoulder shampoo, and they present streaking. Michael Butler, your hair is streaking from Laugh-In. TV quiz shows have renamed Streak It Rich. Motion pictures beyond the valley of the planet of everything you ever wanted to know about deep streaking. Now, in the newspapers, headline in the Daily News, which may be printed, Streak Freak Up Creek. Holidays have been what do they do? Eastern time, they're streaking for eggs in the White House lawn. Christmas time, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Streaker comes along. And in government, of course, the streaker of the house is Carl Albert's. And get this, even disc jockeys have taken advantage of this national fad. And be careful how you say Wolfman is a fad. Wolfman is a fad. He has a wife. And three kids, one of each. Don't forget now, here are the disc jockeys. Get down in your bad streak. And Murray the K is now known as the fifth streaker.
Fifth streaker.
It's 13 after 4 on WNBC Radio 66.
WNBC Energy Alert.
Make this the beginning of the Smokeless 74. Quit smoking your lung. Oh, I got the wrong one here. Oh, I got an energy tip, folks. Let me see. Here's an energy tip. Go to work at WABC where they got a little of it. 66 WABC. Oh, get some of that fresh air. From Radio Free New York, we got the sounds of formerly Nas, Todd Rundgren, and hello, it's me, or hiya, hiya there, folks. Do you remember him 5 years ago? Yeah, that was done about 5 years ago. Like I said, it was done by a group called Naz and lead singers Todd Rundgren. And now they added some horns to it. And I'm for horny records. You know, this is one of them. This is one of the horniest records around today. Joey Reynolds on the radio from WNBC in New York City. How about that, friends? We're still the world's greatest city. So the state of New York says. Anyway, don't miss Papillon. There's been lots of mispronunciation of this, especially with Big Wilson Papillion, he says. It's the greatest escape adventure film of all time. You know, this is the one that stars Steve McQueen without Ally McGraw. Papillon is one of the best adventure movies of the year, raves Sanders, WABC TV, and Times adds, Papillon is the escapist movie we used to go see. It's the sort of thing that Hollywood doesn't make anymore. So see the big Hollyweird picture of Papillon starring Steve McQueen, and he's not one either, from Allied Artists, rated PG. It's the one movie you must see, Papillon, now at Lowe's State One, Orpheum, the Tower East Theaters. Papillon is kind of like Beyond the Valley of the Planet of Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Don Imus. You know, it's one of those films there, friends. We got some more music for you. This is the story of Wolfman Jack. You know, he's got some of that English graffiti going on. I saw his name in the John at the Greyhound bus terminal downtown. Smoking in the boys' room. Days when to roll a joint meant you were going to rob a bank. When you were really cooking, it means the bacon and eggs were in the pan.
Smoking ain't allowed in school.
Why do you talk over all those records like that and ruin all the good parts? You know, people call in and say, how come you're ruining all the records? You're talking while the guy's trying to sing. Well, my instrumentals are sacred. I never interrupt them, ladies and gentlemen. Is it true when you wrap your garbage, you are talking to trash? This is WNBC, Joey Reynolds at 23 before 7 o'clock, and Love's Theme.
There is the amazing Joey Reynolds back in the 60s and 70s on MarketScope. Remember, if you'd like to share great or interesting radio from your hometown, send a recording to me, Phil Wayne, at 7545 County Highway 71, Harpster, Ohio, 43323-9364. Us radio nuts at the DX Audio Service would really appreciate your help. Now we rejoin the world in 2012. Here are the musings from the members.
Hello, fellow DXers. Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. It's about 5:30 in the morning on Friday, August the 31st, and I just noticed that CKGM, the team, TSN, all-sports station in Montreal, is testing on 690. I have known for some time they were going to move off 990 and go to 690. Well, I just picked them up testing there, and I'm very glad to hear it because I'll get that station clearer now than what I did. There will be less interference from other stations on adjacent frequencies.
Well, the application for the radio station to go on 1190, the daytimer in Brampton, Ontario, has been denied. Boy, some of the stations are staying up better now. I had WBAL Baltimore last night, which was Sunday night, September 15th, before it was ever dark. KMOX St. Louis was still up this morning, and a couple of other mornings around 7 o'clock. I've had WoWo in Fort Wayne till about 9 o'clock, so some of the DXing is getting better, and I hope we don't have any more solar flares or anything such as that to deal with.
Well, hi there, DXers. This is Mike Lance in Aventura, Florida. Last Thursday, on August 30th, I went to Baltimore, Maryland, and I also visited Georgetown, which is in Washington, D.C. I heard a lot of radio stations. For example, I heard on 1190, a station which is in English, and they deal with what's happening in China. I also heard them do an old rock and roll show in the afternoons, but they play new stuff, which is a type of music that sounds like old rock and roll, and they even play the old rock and roll tunes from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and so on. Then I heard a station in Korean, and they do lessons in English to the Korean people. And I also heard a station on 1390. They call it the Voice of Russia, and it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I also heard Federal News Radio, WFED 1500, and the new news radio station on 99.1. WNEW.
This is John Wesley Smith from Hallsville, Missouri, and I had occasion on September 28th to be in Webster Groves, Missouri, a western suburb in the St. Louis area, and noticed that KXEN 1010 was completely off the air. I was a little surprised by that. I know they've been going through some changes and so forth with the transmitter site and what have you, but they were gone. And we have a station in Columbia, Missouri, near me, on 1580, KTGR, a sports station. I think they put out a mighty 10 watts at night or something. And they've decided now that they want to be on a translator at 103.1 FM. They're already on 100.5 FM coming out of Fulton, east of Columbia, but I guess they figured they needed a little better saturation in town itself, especially at night.
And that is our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. If you would like to muse, give us a call at area code 419-741-0205, 24 hours a day for DX Audio Service and EDXN members only. Keep it brief and to the point so everyone has a chance to speak. And we'd like to remind you that coming up is our holiday edition. So in November, keep it on your calendar, in November, give us a call and you can wish all the holiday wishes you want to friends that you know are on the DX Audio Service and people that you know that listen. Just give us a call in November and we'll have them on the December edition of the Audio Service. Now let's do some news. The following article appeared in Radio World magazine, authored by Saul Levine. It's titled, AM, Drop the Gloom and Doom. The AM radio band has been serving the needs of the American people for more than 80 years, and remarkably well. The future of AM can continue to be remarkable, but only to those of us in the broadcasting industry if we adopt a new attitude. Gloom and doom has overtaken our industry. Even though there are hundreds of millions of radios in service in the United States, and the erosion of listenership has only been slight, many in radio broadcasting have become passive in response to the attempts of outsiders to raid the successful and profitable radio broadcasting industry. What's more, we allow streaming jukeboxes to call themselves radio, even though they do not operate in the 540 to 1700 kHz band or the 88.1 to 107.9 MHz FM band, and are no more radio than the piano player in the neighborhood bar. These issues apply especially in reference to the AM band. AM radio can become robust again if we overcome the self-doubt and lethargy that is consuming the thinking of radio operators. We have the infrastructure and resources to push back. We must invigorate programming and invest in improvements in the technical side of AM facilities. A word about my background so that the reader can better understand my perspective on AM. I helped pioneer FM radio in the 1950s at a time when there were few FM receivers and almost total indifference to the advent of FM broadcasting by the radio establishment. Because of my personal passion for broadcasting, I was able to obtain a construction permit for 105.1 KKGO and place it on the air in 1959. I still operate the station. It was a channel that had been licensed to a major Los Angeles broadcaster, and the license was turned back in by the operator due to lack of faith in FM. The broadcaster didn't even want to pay the power bill to keep it on the air. It took more than 10 years for the station to become profitable. Along with a handful of other independent operators, I steadfast believe that we would be able to convince the public to invest in FM radio. We achieved this with program content that was not otherwise available, and in mono too, since stereo had not been approved for FM radio. FM had its signal problems too, like multipath and picket fencing while driving. Eventually, it was resolved through circular polarization and other technical advances. My experience makes me think that AM could use the same kind of faith in a potential that my colleagues and I maintain toward FM. AM has become a dumping ground for lackluster programming, a lack of investment, and a dismal outlook. The good news is there are immediate steps that AM broadcasters can take to turn this around. First, get over this belief that everything must be digital and that analog is a bad word. There are immediately available technical improvements that can bolster an AM broadcast signal. An AM operator should dump the ancient RF and audio system it's using today and replace it with state-of-the-art new transmitters, antenna phasing systems, new ground system, new audio equipment, new processing, and anything else that replaces gear producing a negative impact on the signal. I have operated KMZT 1260 since 1993. Back then, it operated with 5 kilowatts, but I have since replaced all 4 towers and ground system and increased the power to 20 kilowatts during the day and 7.5 kilowatts at night. And I'm playing classical music, which almost everyone warned me could not be done on AM radio. There is no real magic here. We're simply supplying program content that people want. I reside about 12 miles from the AM transmitter and monitor the station at home with a Macintosh tuner preamp and a 1961 Macintosh tube amplifier fed into Thiel speakers. There are times when I forget I'm listening to AM rather than FM transmissions because it sounds so good. And that's at nighttime with reduced power. My message for the redemption and survival of AM radio is to get the best transmitting and studio equipment that is available and present programming that is unique, innovative, and filling the need of the public. Just think of this. Taylor Swift releases a new song that can only be heard on AM radio. Suddenly, nearly every young person in the United States is listening to AM radio. The message is obvious. And the next time someone disparages analog technology, remind them that the Big Bang was analog technology. And that was almost 14 billion years ago. Digital elements will come eventually to AM radio, but it could be years away. And we don't need to wait to improve signal quality and programming vastly. This article was from Saul Levine, who has operated and owned his own radio station since 1959.
You'll hear me on the AM switch mention D1 or U2 or some combination of letters and numbers in association with the powers of radio stations. These are called antenna designators. The letters D, U, and sometimes, but rarely, an N or an L or ST, when paired with a number, designates the station's operating hours and its antenna pattern status. A D means daytime, an N means nighttime, an L means limited time, of which there are only a couple of stations left. ST means share time, meaning two or more separate facilities in the same city on the same frequency, sharing time during the broadcast day. The 1240 frequency in Decorah, Iowa, is one of only a couple of these stations left in the U.S. And finally, the one we hear probably 99% of the time nowadays is the letter U, which stands for Unlimited Time Operation. The numbers that follow the letter designate one of 25 different combinations of a station's antenna pattern. Now, I might add that these letter number combinations are a National Radio Club invention, but have been widely accepted and used in the DX community. The FCC has its own set of identifiers, but they don't cover all the combinations like we do. Let's first look at stations that broadcast during the daytime only. That group of stations is getting smaller in number all the time, but there are still quite a few. Since they are daytimers, their letter is a D. If the station is non-directional, their number is 1, so we end up with D1. If they use a directional pattern, the number is 3, and we end up with D3. What happened to 2? We didn't forget that. We'll get to that later. The time right after sunrise in the morning and before sunset in the evening is a very critical time for medium wave signals. The ionosphere is in transition in the morning, can't decide whether to bounce that radio wave back to Earth, as it's been doing all night, or to absorb it, as its properties allow, when the sun hits it. Same thing happens in the afternoon, only in reverse. This mix of unpredictable sky wave with the ground wave signals of a station means that interference to other stations is possible. This is of particular concern when the stations involved cover wide areas, where it may be daylight in one segment and approaching dark in another. So the FCC has established two periods during this skywave-ground wave mix time. In the morning, it's from local sunrise until 2 hours after local sunrise, and in the afternoon, from 2 hours before local sunset until local sunset. This is where the term critical hours comes into play in our discussions. Most unlimited time stations operate with more power during the day than at night, so even though they're authorized to operate at their daytime power, they may cause interference to other stations on the same frequency during the transition periods. Not all stations have to worry about critical hours. Generally, it's only stations which are doing some kind of upgrade in power or a new station being authorized where the FCC may apply a critical hours authorization. Some daytimers also have critical hours authorizations. So, how about it? Ready to get down to the list? Here we go. As we mentioned, D stands for daytimer, and we have 5 types of them. D1 is a daytime station that operates with a non-directional antenna during the daytime. D2 is a daytime station that operates with non-directional antenna during the day, except during critical hours when they switch to a directional antenna. D3 is a daytime station using a directional antenna all day. D4 is a daytime station using a directional antenna during the day and during critical hours, but the patterns for each are different. D5 is a daytime station with a directional antenna during the day, but during critical hours they go non-directional. So, how did you do? Do you understand the differences in the various antenna configurations for daytime stations? If not, you might want to listen to this again to understand before we move on. If you recall, an L means limited time. There are only a couple of those stations left, but we have to deal with them. So we have L1 is a limited time station operating daytime with a non-directional antenna. There are no L2 stations, so our next configuration is L3, and L3 is a limited time station operating during the daytime with a directional antenna. Next, we have stations that operate only at night. Again, there are only a few. N1 is a station operating at night with a non-directional antenna, and 2 is a station operating at night with a directional antenna. Now we get to the U category, which means stations operating unlimited time. Ready? U1 is an unlimited station, non-directional, both day and night. U2 is an unlimited station that operates non-directional during the day. Then at night, they switch to a directional antenna pattern. U3 is an unlimited station that has a directional antenna both day and night, and they transmit with the same patterns and power all day. U4 is an unlimited station with either a different pattern day and night with the same power, or same pattern but different power levels day and night. U5 is an unlimited station operating a directional antenna during the day but then going non-directional at night. U6 is an unlimited station operating non-directional daytime and directional during critical hours and at night with the same pattern. U7 is an unlimited station operating a directional antenna during the day with a different pattern or power during critical hours and a different pattern at night. U8 is an unlimited station operating non-directional during the day with a directional antenna during the critical hours and a different pattern at night. U9 is an unlimited station operating a directional antenna during the day, then non-directional during critical hours, and then a directional antenna at night. U10 is an unlimited station operating non-directional during the day, directional antenna during critical hours, and then non-directional at night. U11 is an unlimited station operating a directional antenna during the day, a different pattern during critical hours, and non-directional at night. U12 is an unlimited station operating non-directional during the day and critical hours, possibly with different power levels, and directional at night. U13 is an unlimited station operating with a directional antenna during the day and critical hours, possibly with different power levels, and non-directional at night. U14 is an unlimited station operating a directional antenna during the day, non-directional during critical hours, and directional with a different pattern at night. U15 is an unlimited station operating directional antenna patterns daytime, critical hours, and nighttime, all with different power levels. And finally, U16 is an unlimited station operating a directional antenna daytime and critical hours with different powers, but non-directional at night. I hope you understand these designations when you listen to AM Switch. You may wish to copy this article to another cassette tape or braille it out for reference, as we probably won't go through this again for a few more years. After you get accustomed to the letters and numbers, you'll find it easy to understand how stations operate. I'm Dave Alpert with my pocket protector and slide rule in the engineering room of the DX Audio Service.
Richard Ohm is an engineer, entrepreneur, and inventor of a DTV radio for the blind. This article comes from Deborah Kendrick. A self-described workaholic, Richard Ohm is a blind engineer who says he's in the process of reinventing himself in a different economic and telecommunications climate. 20 years ago, Ohm started his own business when he realized that, by reputation, word of mouth, and the consulting work he was doing, he's already had a customer base. Ohm talks about television and radio signals, cell phone towers, switches, and controllers as though he can see the signals zooming through the air that put the program on the TV screen, a license plate number on a security camera, or the repeated image up and down hills to get to a broadcast in a rural area. His genius for controlling these signals, sending the information to and from the point of transmission, was thriving until that transition from analog to digital television 3 years ago. But you can't exactly say that that has let the grass grow under his feet. Each morning, Ohm leaves his San Jose, California home for the four-mile journey, two buses, and a long, enjoyable walk to a second home, converted nearly 20 years ago to a house of the business of Ohm Electronics. Although his once six employees are now down to two, he still has customers nationwide and is branching into other arenas. When he opened the doors to Ohm Electronics back in 1993, television and radio stations across the country who purchased his controllers, switches, and fiber optic cables, along with a serious dose of expertise, to transmit broadcasting. With the conversion to digital TV, this business has been on the progressive decline, although many smaller cable companies and broadcast facilities still depend on his services. Meanwhile, businesses have branched out into other areas, often involving custom building projects to fill particular needs. One such project was the security system for the city of Columbus, Ohio. The streets and highways in that city are equipped with cameras transmitting information regarding traffic patterns, violations, etc. Ohm's equipment is responsible for sending that information to the engineers who interpret it while, simultaneously, continuing to identify the information to those engineers that they require. Another custom project, developing a conversion system for transmitting television signals into rural areas for the Bex Corporation, inadvertently led to Ohm's invention of a DTV radio for the blind. I was testing a variety of chipsets for the project, he explained. We needed to find the best chipset for converting, say, a television signal transmitted from the top of a hill that needed to go up and down other hills and into remote rural areas. In doing so, I noticed a unique quality of the Broadcam chipset. It was the only one that didn't need a sighted assistant or opticon to see what's going on. That didn't make it the best choice for the project at hand, but later it found its way into the making of a DTV radio. Ohm's philosophy about technology is somewhat refreshing. While his arsenal of tools used daily includes state-of-the-art technology, it also includes equipment from the 70s and 80s. He has a Windows 7 computer, for instance, running the latest version of Windows Eyes. He also has, and uses daily, a DOS-based computer, because it has programs on it that he wrote in DBase that he still uses. On his desk is a Braille light that he uses for jotting notes as well as reading, and there's always the opticon. The opticon, that's the optical-to-tactical converter, is perhaps the first computer-age example of access technology for blind people. Developed in the 1970s, the opticon allowed the user to guide a small camera lens over a visual image, say a page of printed text or schematic drawing, in one hand while seeing a tactical representation of that image on a small array of vibrating pins with the other. Ohm uses his opticon daily to sort the mail and examine schematic drawings. It's absolutely the fastest way for me to determine that a piece of mail is junk or needs to be discarded, he said. If I see with the opticon that it is a piece I need to read in full, then I turn it over to the computer and OCR technology. He occasionally uses a Smith Corona typewriter, equipped with a typewriter lens for the opticon. An old computer or other piece of technology, he said, will always do for you what it did in the first place. To spend time learning new technology for tasks is still accomplished by older products, and it's still a practice he considers efficient. Of course, the fact that Ohm himself is able to repair any piece of technology that is ailing is a tremendous advantage. That ability has spread far through the blind community grapevine, too. Over the past few decades, Ohm has earned the reputation for being able to repair any piece of equipment a customer sends his way, and has, consequently, carved a special niche for himself amongst the blind and visually impaired users of older access technology. In his shop, along with the controlling hardware and software for broadcasters and other major corporations, there is always the random Braille and Speak or Braille light needing his attention as well. The opticon is another piece for which his remedies are renowned. Although the opticon has long been out of production, devotees of the product find it an essential tool for independence, and Ohm still has 5 to 8 of them per month in his shop for repair. In 2010, during a phone conversation with Catherine Thomas of New York, one of Ohm's opticon customers, Thomas bemoaned her frustration with digital television and encouraged Ohm to build a radio that would pick up the audio portion of digital television broadcasts for blind users. He remembered the Broadcam chip's unique capabilities, and an idea was born. Thomas loved her new radio and eventually asked if she could tell a friend. Ohm built another radio. That friend told two more. And suddenly, one morning in May of 2011, Ohm came to work to find 150 messages in his email inbox, all inquiring about his DTV radio for the blind. When you receive the Ohm Electronics Model ATSC25 DTV radio, one fact is immediately clear. This is a product designed by a blind person for a blind person. Every connection point on the back of the radio bears a Braille label, as does the AC adapter needed to power it up. In the box is the user's guide in the format specified when ordering, hard copy Braille, large print, or CD. Also in the box is a raised line of drawings of the control pad, labeling each key. The Ohm DTV radio is made of wood and plastic and measures 12 inches wide by 8 inches high and 4 inches deep. It is essentially a digital television without a screen. Approximately two-thirds of the radio's front surface is occupied by the radio speaker, thus producing quality, booming sound. On the right side, offset by a plastic framework, essentially a permanently affixed remote control device, which has been adapted for use with the radio. The radio is equipped with a built-in telescoping whip antenna, and the user's guide provides detailed instructions for selecting and installing additional indoor and outdoor antennas for better reception. As with any digital television, the first step upon setting up the radio is to scan for channels in your given geographic area. Once scanned, these channels are stored into memory. At any time, you can either scan for additional channels, say in the case of moving the radio from one side of the room to the other, or start from scratch and build a new directory if moved to an entirely new geographic location. The radio is capable of receiving digital broadcasts on channels 2 through 69, as well as all sub-channels for each, but it can't receive those channels offered by cable or satellite companies. To select channels, you either press the desired number, such as 19 for 19, plus the dash key in the lower right corner of the control pad, or you use the up channel and down channel keys to browse for stations in your area. Following the easy setup instructions, I was listening to TV channels in my area within minutes of removing the radio from the box. Reception ranged from crystal clear to an intermittent misfire, but the number of stations was impressive. I located roughly 20 channels on the first try, and that number was more than doubled when I added an inexpensive indoor antenna, recommended by the Ohm Electronics user guide, to the mix. If alternate audio is available, such as described video or foreign language translation, this stream can be heard at the press of a button. Jacks are available on the back for adding a stereo receiver, amplifier, or speakers, and a 1/8-inch mono jack on the front is convenient for adding headphones for private listening. For those who wish to listen to the radio where AC power is not convenient, an external battery pack is also added. The Ohm Electronics DTV radio delivers exactly what it promises and for no more. For those not interested in video component of television, it offers an easy solution to receiving the audio portion of several television channels without the addition of cable or satellite services. It has the ability to play alternate audio streams when they are available, and its sound quality is strong and clear. Two features that would make the product even more enjoyable to use would be the ability to announce the frequency of a selected station and a way to bookmark favorite stations. I asked Richard Ohm if these features might be included in future models. Regarding the identification of channels, his reply was that, regrettably, the only way to accomplish this task would be to incorporate optical character recognition and text-to-speech technology into the product, and that would dramatically increase the price. To my second query regarding the addition of presets or bookmarks, I could almost hear his engineering brain kick into gear as he paused, reflected, and then admitted that the idea hadn't occurred to him, but it was an interesting possibility. In other words, if sales continue, so might the growth of the radio's feature. If you're only interested in the audio portion of a digital television receiver and are looking for a simple, affordable solution, the Ohm Electronics DTV radio is an innovative and unique solution. At $180, some customers have purchased more than one. They're available from Ohm Electronics, and you can contact them via email at ohmelec@tdl.com or by phone at area code 408-971-6250. And that, my friends, is the DX Audio Service for October 2012. We'll see you in 30 days with more DX stuff. Remember, get out and support radio.
I'm scared, people. Truly scared.
Okay, how's this?
Ah! How the hell did you do that?
Well, you don't scare me, Doc.
Next month is our November edition, and Phil Wayne will dress up as a turkey.
Well, sounds sexy.